What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Moving along into our second hour of the program on a KMOX Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Welcome back in. I'm Jen Sees in for Matt Pauley, who's not feeling well tonight. Get well soon. We had a busy first hour in Matt's absence. We talked Major League Baseball with Scott Miller, New York Times contributor and author of the 90% Mental book, and a new book he's got coming out called Skipper, Why Baseball Managers Matter and Always Will. That comes out in May. Pre-order is happening right now. We talked NFL, Cardinals, Blues with Kevin Ryan, St. Louis sports broadcaster for Fox 2 and St. Louis 11. And we heard a replay of Tom Ackerman's Sunday conversation with Josh Schertz, head coach of SLU men's basketball. In the later part of this hour, we're going to shift over to soccer. That's my jam. I'm going to shift over and talk a little bit about St. Louis City and the recent MAC Award, Herman Trophy Awards that happened just this past Friday night. We'll talk with Dale Schilly and Bill McDermott about those things. But first, we're going to start with Alvin Reed, St. Louis American writer, who had an article yesterday that I found in a search, and I found it really interesting. 25 sports things I'd like to see in 2025. Alvin, thanks for joining us. That was quite a roundup of St. Louis names in St. Louis sports of what you want to see this year.
Hey, absolutely. And I thank you for the chance to be on tonight. Yeah, I kind of do that at the end of each year. And man, a lot happened in 2024, but there is a lot I'd like to see in 2025. Some I know probably won't happen, but hey, we can wish, can't we?
Hey, well, you called it the Reed Roundup, and I really like to see that. So, of course, one of the first things that you take notice of as a St. Louis fan, if you're a fan of football, you have many teams around, but of course, a lot of people like the Kansas City Chiefs. You're looking for them to win an unprecedented third consecutive Super Bowl led by Patrick Mahomes and coach Andy Reid. You feeling good about that?
I am, and being a lifelong Dallas Cowboy fan since I was 7 and I'm now 64, they aren't really my team, but they are my wife's team. She adopted them like
well played, sir. Well played.
Like a third child. So I, kind of like, oh my gosh, But no, it really would be historic, and I would really like to see it in that, they won two, and what they've done really over the last 7 years in a lot of ways is unprecedented, maybe with the exception of the New England Patriots, of course. And I would just like to see somebody do it three times in a row to be able to say we were the first and we were the only to win three Super Bowl titles. And the fact that it is Kansas City right across the state, and I'm familiar with that part of the state because I'm sure a lot of your listeners may know this. I'm a tried and true Kansas Jayhawk. Never lived over there, but just went to school over there. So I have an affinity for Kansas City, so I'd like to see it happen the third time.
I'm really reading your article. I really like how it lays out all the names. There's St. Louis names that are bolded and kind of, really makes you take notice if you don't already know of all the names that are out there doing great things, whether they're here in St. Louis or elsewhere. Another one that you talked about was Boston Celtics star Jason Tatum to win the 2025 NBA Most Valuable Player Award.
Yes, and right now, when you get about halfway through the season, it's anybody's game, but it's kind of what happens between now and the end of the season. I think he could still win the MVP award. And, Boston winning a second NBA title, just wonderful. It was great to see him finally get that first one. But, hey, kind of like the Chiefs, back it up with a second one. And then you're emphatically have put your name out there, you'll forever be remembered. Not that he would be forgotten, but it would be great to win that MVP and also back it up with a championship.
And as a woman who's played, and a girl who played sports, and we didn't have a lot of those things to look up to and to look at the growth of the women's side of the game, it made me happy to read that line that you had that says a Jason Tatum-led group to secure a WNBA franchise for St. Louis. I mean, that would be incredible, called the St. Louis Spirit. He's got my vote just for that.
Hey, you know, those of us old enough remember the St. Louis Spirits and the joy and the love we had for that ABA franchise that could have merged into the NBA, but the owners decided to take the kind of buyout, and they got paid for like 30, 40 years off that and made a whole lot of money. But at the same time, I still hold dear to my heart the St. Louis Spirits. And if we got that WNBA franchise, it'd be great to just call it the Spirit. But I think it could be done. We mentioned Patrick Mahomes of the Kansas City Chiefs, and he and his wife are players in trying to bring a franchise to Kansas City. And I don't know if Missouri would have two WNBA franchises, but obviously Jason's got the in with the NBA, and I think that gives us a little bit of leverage over Kansas City, so I'd like to see that happen too.
Who wouldn't? I appreciate also your call out to the fact that, you know, as much as Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark, you can't go anywhere and talk about WNBA and basketball, women's basketball, without those names, and that's very important, of course, but there are other great names and people that have won, been doing it before them, and people doing it since. And you called out USC's Juju Watkins leading the Trojans to an NCAA Women's Tournament Final Four, really kind of being something. And I appreciate that call out on the women's side of the game.
Oh, yes. And, you know, UConn's got a star that's coming out, too. She just injured her knee, but she'll be fine, and she's going to come out, too. You know, there was a WNBA before Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese came into the league last year. And I won't say I find it kind of like irritating, but you kind of have to remind people that, you know, a lot of women have played WNBA basketball and became basketball stars, and they're international stars and won championships and won titles and had great, great, great careers. It didn't all just start last spring. So it would be great for, like I say, Juju to come into the league with a championship, and let's focus on her instead of the back and forth between Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it when, if it's able to, if that kind of a rivalry draws more eyes to the game, but then as listeners, as watchers of the game, those of us who have girls who are playing the game, make sure we look around and see the names that came before and the names that are up and coming also with them.
Oh, absolutely. Look, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, tremendous. Help turn the league around. But what really sustained the league, and that's a big word now, sustainability, yeah, was the fact who was waiting in the wings. Detroit, Isaiah Thomas. You know, Michael Jordan was just starting to scratch the surface trying to get there. You know, they set the stage, but the play went on. And even before, you know, Magic and Michael, George Gervin and the teams that, you know, came over from the ABA, it was – it keeps moving forward, and that's what the WNBA needs now, not to stall on the stars that they have right now, but to keep moving forward. And that's what this next couple of 2-3 players coming out of college can do for the WNBA, and it really needs it. Because, look, if you don't follow it up, all this interest in the WNBA will go away in two seasons, and that's the last thing that they need.
And, you know, this is not the only, this last but not least is the one I have time to cover. I highly recommend, if you like this interview, listeners, go to the St. Louis American, find the article, 25 Sports Things I'd Like to See in 2025 from Alvin Reed. But, Alvin, you called one more thing out towards the end, and it's yourself to go at the Baseball Hall of Fame induction ceremony in Cooperstown, New York on July 27th to witness respective enshrinements of Dave Parker and the late Dick Allen.
Oh, yeah. As a kid, saw him play. Really, as an adult, they were still playing. But I'll tell you what. Dick Allen is my favorite player of all time. And when he came to the Cardinals, he was only here 1 year in 1970. But I got to see him play. And for a long time, I think until Jack Clark came along, Dick Allen was still the only guy that hit 30 home runs for the Cardinals. And, look, he went through a lot in his baseball career. And he was only here 1 year before he was traded. But, hey, Dick Allen deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. I'm glad he finally made it. And let me tell you what, Dave Parker, that arm in right field and the throws he made and the bat he carried, he was part of the lumber company with the Pirates, always made it down there to Busch Stadium, the old one, to see the Pirates play. He was a fantastic baseball player. I am so glad I got to see them both play, and I am so glad that they're in the Hall of Fame, and I'm going to make that trip. I'm going to make it happen.
That's awesome, Alvin. Have a great trip, and thanks for joining us on KMOX.
Thanks. Anytime you need me, just give me a call, okay?
You got it. That was Alvin Reed of the St. Louis American. He wrote a great little article about 25 things he'd like to see in 2025. We should check up with him at the end of 2025 and see what all things did happen. More to come. We're going to shift to soccer, my jam here at KMOX, the sport I'm probably the most comfortable with. And it's been a while. I haven't talked to Dale Schilly. I've missed him. We'll catch up on all things happening in soccer and what St. Louis City SC is planning in this next season. Stay right here on KMOX. Hour number two rolls on for a Graybar Sports Open Line. Jen Cease in for Matt Pauly, and we shift gears now to soccer. St. Louis City SC is back in action. It feels like it has barely been any time off in the MLS, and it hasn't actually been if you're the final two teams. But, you know, winter is a quiet time for playing, maybe, and a busy time for moves in the back office. Joining us now, Dale Schilly, St. Louis City Academy Director and Game Analyst on Y98 for City's first team. Dale, it's been a bit.
It has been a bit, Jen. Everything good?
Good. Have you had any downtime? Because Academy runs on a little bit of a different kind of schedule than the first team or even City 2.
You know what? We've had an exciting month of December. We've got a little downtime now after Christmas and into January. But, yeah, we had three teams out in Palm Springs at a big event. And then we actually took the U4 teams down to Guadalajara to play in an event versus Chivas, Atlas, Toluca, and Necaxa. So we got to play some top Liga MX teams, and it was just a great experience.
You know, I know we got to get to the first team, but it just has me thinking of the Academy teams. They're young, and one, taking them on international travel, and two, at a young age, getting to experience different styles of play other than what you might find here typically in the U.S. youth system has got to be very groundbreaking for their skills, for the way they see the game.
More than the soccer piece was the cultural piece. We really wanted to hit. We were intentional with the age group. We were intentional with the location. So to bring 14-year-olds to Guadalajara, to have them experience the different way of life, obviously the soccer piece as well, was really impactful on the players. The feedback we got from the kids and the families was tremendous. It hit exactly what we wanted, which was to help ground the players and to appreciate what opportunities they have here by experiencing life and culture someplace else.
You know, somebody else who's on travel, Indiana Vasilev, 24 players called for the first U.S. men's national team January training camp under Maurizio Pochettino. And Indy, one of them, that's a pretty great recognition for not only Indy himself, he works so hard, but of course St. Louis City to have a player of theirs calls to the national team, especially under new coach Maurizio Pochettino.
Yeah, I mean, I think for sure for Indy, it's a great honor, and it's going to be interesting to see where they would play him, because we've seen him play everywhere but the nine and across the back.
Pretty much.
You know, yeah, we've seen him as a six, we've seen him as a 10, we've seen him as the wide tens, so he's really played in five different spots, and as you said, his work rate, his determination, his feistiness, his tenacity, his grit, are things that he can bring with him into camp and hopefully, you know, does a good job. I think this camp is one of discovery where Coach Pochettino is looking to find players outside of the upper tier and see who he can unearth to maybe move in, you know, alongside of the top group. So a great opportunity for Indy.
And of course, we were supposed to actually have it today. I am appreciative of St. Louis City for moving it to Friday. I'm happy to wait to hear from the weather and the drive-wise, but we'll be hearing on Friday at a press conference, and I'm sure KMOX will be able to play some of those sound bites as well as being able to see it through the social channels, talking, of course, and hearing from Diego Gigliani, Luz Fannenstiel, and of course, new head coach Olaf Melberg. I haven't met him yet, Dale. I'm assuming you probably have. I don't know how much he's been around, but exciting to get somebody in, and I know he's stateside. He's ready to go.
Yeah, he's stateside. He's ready to go. I think, you know, just a person that's had his experiences as a player playing alongside of and captaining, you know, big personalities, being in a locker room of a EPL program and being a you know, important part of that locker room. There's just a lot of experience that he brings with himself, and that's going to be, it's going to be interesting to see how it all comes together. But certainly, I think all of us obviously are looking forward to seeing how the team shapes up into the new season.
Yeah, you know, and when he was first announced, I will admit I didn't know as much about him as I should have. You know, Aston Villa legend, previous Swedish national team captain. He's got, you know, not only playing experience, but managerial experience. And as I understand it, played at a center back position. And that is pretty much, you know, whether you're named a captain or not, that's a leadership position on the field. I'm just kind of interested in your thoughts as a coach, as a former player yourself. When a coach comes in and he's played a previous position, this one at center back, that's got to mean potentially a really great leader for a team who knows exactly, you know, how to watch the game from a sideline. You can watch the game on film, but he knows how that game's seen from the very back.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that is a natural position to lead, organize, communicate, that sort of thing. So he certainly brings that with him. I'm interested in the locker room piece. So much of coaching at the professional level is man management and how you handle players in the locker room, away from the field. How do you motivate? How do you keep guys in line? How do you keep them pulling in the same direction? So he's had those experiences because of where he's been at the level that he's competed at, and the fact that he captained a World Cup team with Zlatan on it. So, you know, he's had
not bad.
He's had some experiences, and you know, I think that's the part that I'm really interested to see is how does he manage the players.
Yeah, one of his club and over in his country, is really known for their youth development. So development and making sure that leadership comes from top to down and runs all the way through the club seems like it might be a strength that he brings to City.
Yeah, you know, obviously that's from a selfish perspective.
Sure.
Is what opportunities will there be for younger players from Coach Olaf? And, you know, how will he create those opportunities and in terms of roster sizes, you know, the how does he organize and structure a roster? And based on what he sees coming up the ladder through the academy and the two-team system. He's been on both sides of it. He's been on the pro side. He's been on the academy side. He knows, you know, sort of the hurdles and the speed bumps that come with a player trying to make it through his youth from a youth through the academy into the first team. I would think that he's going to be a player's coach and help create those opportunities.
And last but not least, I was fortunate to attend the MAC's Herman Trophy Awards on Friday night. And of course, Lutz Pfannenstiel, sporting director for St. Louis City SC, always seems to like to pop surprises. And one of the surprises he popped to the media there was the signing. Emil Jaskalainen didn't win the Herman Trophy, but I would see a pretty good second thing would to be picked in the MLS Super Draft by City.
Yeah. And you know, 24, 25 goals.
Yeah.
It's good size, you know, a nine. I think there's a lot of flexibility and opportunity you have by bringing in a player of that structure and that profile. You know, when you're looking at Klaus, you're looking at Simon Becher, as two nines, you're looking at Caden Glover, you're looking at Brendan McSorley as guys that have been successful at the two-team level, it gets fairly crowded. So it'll be interesting to see, where Lutz, what he does with Jaskalainen. You know, does he bump somebody down a notch? Does he move him someplace to on loan to see him develop over a year or so? I mean, there's a lot of possibilities with a player of that ability. And, you know, look, you always have room for a guy that can score 25 goals.
Yeah, I'll make a place on my roster for that. Well, Dale, thanks for joining me. I look forward to hearing from, all the brass at St. Louis City's press conference on Friday. And it's hard to believe the next season's almost here.
I can't wait, and I'll be looking for you and Joey sometime in February.
You got it. You got it. Thanks, Dale. That was Dale Shilley, St. Louis City Academy Director. You can also hear him on Y98 with myself and Joey Zanaboni as he provides the game analysis, and we cover St. Louis City first team games. More to come. We mentioned a little bit about the Herman Trophy Awards and how that was at the MAC downtown just this past Friday, and who, of course, was the MC? Well, Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott. He'll be up next, coming up on KMOX. Just about 30 minutes to go on a Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Jen C's filling in for Matt Pauly. We shifted gears this hour after talking a little bit about some of the other sports around St. Louis and the featured players in their various collegiate or pro careers. We shifted to soccer. We just got done talking with Dale Shilley because St. Louis City is getting ready to be back in action. But soccer never stops. It's a sport that I think truly never sleeps. And whether you're playing or you're honoring, just this past Friday at the MAC downtown, we, of course, had the Herman Trophy Awards. It's a great event. I've been to it before. Haven't been to it for a few years and was able to go this past year and bring my daughter, which was really exciting for her to kind of see that as she's a 16-year-old looking to see what might happen in her career and get to talk to some of those players who were honored. Somebody else who was there is somebody that I consider, you know, he's called Mr. Soccer, but I also call him the great connector in the beautiful game because there isn't a player, truly, men or women, that I talk to for City, whether I'm interviewing a former player or I'm talking to somebody who, Brian McBride, or I'm talking to, of course, a current coach like Steve Ralston, that if I bring up the name Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, they have a story and they appreciate being connected. Thanks for joining me, Bill.
Hi, Jen. How are you? Thank you for those very kind remarks. And believe me, whenever I'm doing anything pertaining to the sport of soccer, somehow, some way, either, well, let's see, you brought it up, Brian McBride, Steve Ralston, any of those players that I had the great fortune to not only watch play, but to do their games internationally and MLS, I'm always going to mention those prime candidates for great players who have come from St. Louis. I will not hesitate.
Absolutely. And it always gives me a great talking piece, too, because sometimes I'll have them actually on a Zoom where we're recording and I get to see their face. And when I mention, you'll maybe give me a comment about the way they played or their style, they always have this nice, pleased look of surprise that your name is being brought up and that was said. And it's just nice to see their reaction to that for me.
Well, and to see players like that, Jen, and to be able to see them later in their careers and then later in life to see what they've done. But at the basis of all of it is that somehow and in some way they brought some prestige, some more pedigree to the city of St. Louis just by being soccer players who participated in games here, who necessarily all of them were not from, born or raised in St. Louis, but a player like Brian McBride, I consider him an absolute adopted St. Louisan for what he did at St. Louis University, then the inaugural draft pick in the first MLS draft in 1996 and what he's gone on to do. And then he, likewise, always mentions his fondness for the city of St. Louis.
You know, speaking of pedigree, this actually happened towards the end of the MAC Herman Trophy Awards, but I'm going to mention at the beginning, you, Mr. Soccer, were honored with an MAC Lifetime Membership. That was really awesome to see. I had kind of heard through the grapevine that something might be coming, but I didn't know exactly what it was. Were you surprised? Did you know?
And you didn't tell me? You
I
heard
didn't
this?
Tell you. I hid in the back.
Was I surprised? Positively. You know, it's fairly difficult to catch me without a comment or being able to make a comment. But yeah, very much so. It's been a great fortune of mine to be involved with the MAC Herman Trophy for absolute years. And getting back to what we just talked about a moment ago, getting able to see these young players, some of whom, not all, but go on to play professionally, and even better yet, go on to play on the United States full women's and full men's national team. And then you get a feel for what this event has done for the overall prestige for the sport of soccer, but in particular, intercollegiate soccer. College soccer is not going to go anywhere, Jen. You mentioned you haven't had a chance to go to a lot of them lately, but I hope that you got a feel what these coaches say about college soccer, in that it's going to always be there. There are many avenues for players now, men and women, to try to get to that proverbial next level. Maybe college soccer is right for some of them. Maybe it's not. Maybe USL, MLS Pro 2. But college soccer is always going to be there as a potential avenue. And that's why this is such a big event. It does honor for that exact game.
You know, one of my favorite, I like the whole thing, of course, but I really, besides the fact that the food was fantastic,
but
I didn't eat anything that day because I stuffed myself with dinner, but I really enjoyed your intro. I enjoyed watching, of course, you know, they put up the videos on the screen, but the way that it was narrated, Bill, and not only, you know, my personal thing with coverage of women's sports, but that, you know, you're covering a lot and talking about the women's side of the game and the men's side of the game and kind of weaving those things maybe it was about 10 minutes. It was such a great intro, and I really appreciate the way you weave the story of not only St. Louis soccer, but of course, soccer around the nation through college sports.
Yeah, we try to do that every year, Jen. Jim Wilson, Director of Communications for the MAC, and his assistant Monica, his video assistant Monica Ryan to be exact, they came up with the concept of, hey, this year when we do the year in review, let's do some video along with it. Would you do the voiceover for them? Be my pleasure. Be glad to. Now, what they have to do is the difficult part, and that is go through countless YouTube images to get all this video, this bizarre. And every year, Jen, I'd like in the year in review, I'd like people to either watch a game that's been in the World Cup, European Cup, Women's World Cup, wherever. But I wanted to go way back because Gigi Riva had passed away this year, Italy's all-time leading scorer. And one of the greatest games ever played was the 1970 semifinal between West Germany at the time and Italy. Italy and West Germany. They're tied at the end of regulation, and that only happens because Karl-Heinz Schnellinger gets a tying goal into stoppage time in their regular 90. And then the final score is 4-3, but 5 of the 7 goals were scored in extra time. Now, it wasn't the most artistic game, but for the longevity of people watching these games over the years, it's way, way at the top of the list. Now, Italy goes on to play in the final. They lose to Brazil in what is still considered to be the best national team ever assembled in Brazil. But I just like to bring people's memories back to how we got here. And then you talk about a player like Aitana Bonmatí. Have you watched much of her, Jen, playing for Spain and Barcelona?
I have not enough, but what I see is beautiful.
Oh, she's magnificent. And then the fact that the NWSL is playing in Kansas City where the Current plays.
That was awesome.
Ever professional sports stadium built exclusively for a woman's professional sport. You have to know and you have to get a feel for the fact that now the sport is really making some inroads when there are soccer specific stadiums being built for the women's game, because that has done so much. I think that is one of, if not the biggest hot topics, if you will, that has grown the sport of men's professional soccer, in particular MLS, simply because, well, Jim, we've talked about it so many times. When the league started in 96, the league wanted to show that they were in big cities. Consequently, we're doing games in Pasadena, at the Rose Bowl, in East Rutherford, at Giant Stadium, at Mile High Stadium, at Arrowhead Stadium, all of which are fabulous venues. But if you get a crowd of 20, 21, 25,000, which is very respectable for soccer in the United States, you can't do that at the Rose Bowl. You lose any type of intimacy you're trying to create. So that's why one of the most important dates in the history of the sport in our country is May 15th, 1999, when Columbus Crew Stadium opened. Now, was it the best venue? Not by any means. And the people in Columbus will tell you that. However, there had to be a first. And isn't it appropriate that Lamar Hunt would be on the end of that endeavor after what he did for the NPSL, then NASL, in 67 and 68. So the soccer-specific stadium for men and now for women is an immense part of the growth of the sport in our country.
And not only did I have a great time Friday night, but so did the Herman Trophy finalists. Always love seeing them get their acknowledgement for one, making it to the finalist round. And of course, only yes. one of them on the men's side and on the women's side gets the, that crystal ball, so to speak, mm-hmm. statue. But I will say, and I mentioned it to Dale Shilley in the previous episode, previous segment, that although Emil Jaskalainen did not walk away with the trophy, he sure did walk away with a super draft pick. And we'll be seeing him at St. Louis City.
Oh, positively, Jen. And you're going to see this guy in college soccer. Now, he was a number nine, and boy, did he have the right number on his back. But as opposed to the old-fashioned number nines, where they would just stand in the penalty area and wait for crosses, not Jaskalainen. He was everywhere. He would go. As a matter of fact, you heard him. He told me sometimes he would go back as deep as the center circle just to go find the game and get involved. But he was comfortable running at people, shooting for distance, working one-twos at the tip of the penalty area arc. And, of course, his prowess in the air. Well, just take a look at him. 6'3", 6'4", agile, very good on the ball. And he scored 23 goals. 23 goals in a college soccer season? Are you kidding me? That's preposterous. That's very difficult to do. And especially with a team like Akron, where he played, that plays an extremely difficult schedule. Now, at one time, he was on the books of Blackpool, Jen, and he was entertaining at least, staying in England, or wanted to stay in England to play professionally. But he is definitely going to give this a go. And consequently, for St. Louis City, he was the number seven overall pick. Now, what remains to be seen is what Dale was just talking about. You're going to have one, two, three, four, five people who are legitimately vying for that number nine slot. And I think one player that in particular last year, when he came to this team late in the middle of the year, Simon Betcher did so much to build his place as a possible first 11 player simply because of one of the things I just mentioned about Jaskalainen. He does not just stand in the penalty area and wait for balls to be played to him. He's a nonstop worker. He's going to do everything. But now there's going to be quite a few different avenues to look at. And when Olaf Meldberg takes a look at all these players, he's going to be very interested in seeing the overall abilities and the different abilities of these players, especially in and around the penalty area.
Yeah, that on the men's side. And then, of course, on the women's side, Kate Fossey ends up being the winner. She was somebody my daughter wanted to meet, so we made a beeline to meet her really quick. And just what not only a great, obviously soccer stud she is in her performance, but, what great character. And that's a lot you can tell about a player, too, is their character off the pitch. And it was just great to have, personally for me to have, my high school daughter be able to talk to somebody who's just won a very prestigious award in women's soccer and, is still considering her options because there are options.
Yeah, positively, Jen. And what you brought up about Kate Fossey is 100% accurate. This is a type of person that you want to speak for your sport. Number one, because of her abilities, which are tremendous. And that's why she's the best player in the nation. But in particular, how does she interact with people off the field? I continue, and I always bring up the concept of David Beckham coming to the United States. Now, we know why David Beckham came to the United States, to sell the sport, to make it a front page news, not just baseball, football, basketball, and hockey now, but soccer in particular, because people like David Beckham have been here. And then also Lothar Matthäus, Thierry Henry, and then, of course, most recently, Lionel Messi. But overall, they're all trying to get exposure for a sport. And how do they do that? Just by being present and interacting in the community. She won, Tate Fossey wins this year, the MAC Herman, and University of North Carolina, Jen, wins their 23rd national championship. What? That's impossible.
And after a total rebuild, right? After a total rebuild of the roster.
Word. No one, you heard her say it Friday night, no one expected us, the University of North Carolina, to be this far in the competition, to get to the final, to win the championship. And then in the process, she's the 20th player in University of North Carolina history to be a finalist for the MAC Herman Trophy. So I think her ability as a player, but in particular as a player off the field and interacting. Bobby Charlton said, a good player becomes great. An average player becomes good, A good player becomes great by imitation of role models and patterning yourself after role models in small neighborhood settings, what they do on the field and off. And she is the perfect definition of that.
Yeah, another link to the University of North Carolina besides Kate Fossey playing, Anson Dorrance. I mean, I, when it comes to, if I picked a dinner to come to for the right key speaker, this would have been one that I would have fought for tickets for. Thankfully, I didn't have to fight for him. I got to meet Anson, talk a little bit with him, and just it was great. You two only had like 10 or 15 minutes, but you could have gone on for an hour. It was awesome.
Jen, could have easily gone on, but we do have some time restrictions. But nonetheless, man, you could, as I said it to him just jokingly on Friday night, you could tell he's retired now. I mean, he was always he shot pretty fast and loose, but he's really even getting vindictive at times.
Yeah, he wasn't afraid to have a little jab out there.
not at all, and he's. He's just getting ready for a torn ACL or a torn Achilles, playing this pickleball on a regular basis.
And for any listeners that don't,
surgeon's dream.
Yeah, and for any listeners that don't know the name, there's legends in every single game and on every side of the game, men's and women's. And in women's soccer, it's Anson Dorrance, and he's touched all players from Michelle Akers all the way to current players. And alongside, I think at his table was also Carla Overbeck.
Exactly. So many people have told me, in particular, number 11, my all-time favorite midfielder from Stanford, Julie Foudy. Very simple. We don't win World Cups unless Carla Overbeck's at center back. Yeah. She was an absolute rock. And as I mentioned on Friday night, if you Google, how do I play the number 4 position properly? What should I do? There's a picture of Carla Overbeck.
There you go.
She was solid in the backfield, gave quality balls out of the backfield, was calm, composed, got involved in everything defensively, urged her teammates on when things weren't going properly. Nobody got worried, in particular her. She was captain of the national team for a while. And now, like we said a few moments ago, she's passing that along to all the young players who are playing for Duke University and getting a chance to see a woman like this who is at the cornerstone, the foundation of the popularity of the women's game in the United States, now giving back. Monsignor Meyer used to always tell us, Jen, the soccer priest from the CYC, look, boys, please, when you finish, make sure to please give something back. And she is doing that on all facets of the game.
That's right. Bill, thanks so much for your time. And also,
sure,
congratulations on your MAC Lifetime membership. Look forward to running to you on a pitch soon.
Yes, ma'am. Talk to you soon, Jen. Thank you.
That was Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott bringing us all up to date on the MAC awards and more. We'll wrap it up on the other side of the break. Stay here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Not tonight. Matt Pauley is out, not feeling well. Jen Sees. I've been alongside Kyle Sixta. Thank you, Kyle, for all your help on the controls, running things for the Sports Open Line, filling in for Matt. Hopefully he is better soon because there's more shows to come this week, of course. There is a short show tomorrow before, is it Billikens? Billikens. And then Thursday's Cardinal Countdown, and then another Sports Open Line. So Matt has plenty plenty to come back to. Hope he comes back soon. Busy show. Thanks to all of our guests for coming on. If you missed any part of this show, you can always find it free on the Odyssey app under the podcast section. You can find Sports Open Line. You can Sports on a Sunday Morning. If you've missed a show, you can go back there and find a particular segment or the entire thing. Kyle's always after the show, cutting that up and making sure it's available on KMOX. All things Cardinal baseball coming up next. The Gas House Gang episode recorded earlier today is up after the news right here on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.